Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnert, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello, hello.
As we can tell by the music, we know what this show is going to be about.
Oh, yeah. So, if you don't know, spoilers.
Lots of them.
Just starting off with that, there's going to be spoilers, because there has to be.
The way I look at it, if I make it to a movie opening weekend, the rest of y'all should have seen it.
Yep.
So, just kind of how it goes.
It is. So right off the bat, yes or no? Do you love it or do you hate it? Just to know how this is going
to
go.
Am I allowed to say yes and no?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a Marvel movie, and that's what we run into half of them. We're going to love – it really does seem like we love certain parts, but in other parts we're like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't think – it got a lot of hate, and I don't think it deserved the hate.
So I don't know about hate, because it's not Dark World bad. It's not Iron Man 3 bad. If we are going based on the third movie of – said franchise, I guess really it only beats Iron Man 3. I think I still put Ragnarok as, you know.
See, I would put, I don't know, because, I mean, Ragnarok was good, but I don't know.
I really enjoyed Ragnarok. I loved the character development in Ragnarok. I loved how they dealt with, you know, Hulk and how they dealt with Thor. Like,
okay,
I love
wait
Ragnarok.
Wait a minute. I'm getting my mind messed up.
You're thinking Love and Thunder.
Well, no, I liked Love and Thunder. I was thinking of the other one.
Dark World.
Dark World with Hela, which we were just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
You know, and when it comes to sequels, I'm not even sure I put Dark World as the worst after that second fucking Doctor Strange came out.
See, I enjoyed the Doctor Strange.
I think I'm going to have the same problem with this movie that I had with Doctor Strange. I had expectations of shit that should have happened that did not happen.
I can see that.
The most exciting part of the Doctor Strange was the three Spider-Mans. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
That wasn't Doctor Strange. That was Spider-Man.
That was Spider-Man.
Doctor Strange 2 sucked.
Oh, no, I loved it. I loved the whole freaking... But see, I'm an Evil Dead fan, so I felt like it just turned into Evil Dead by the end of it, and I fucking loved it. I mean, but it was just Doctor Strange.
I love Sam Raimi, too,
Ash versus Evil Dead by the end of it, which I was okay with. I really was.
I know, but there's so many other superhero characters that works for that's not kind of that, you know, Doctor Strange.
True.
And the character development that sucked, like getting to Zombie Strange and, you know, yeah, wasn't my thing.
It was one of those things, and I'll be honest, on this one, I think part of what I ran into with this one, I went in with expectations that didn't happen, but I was okay with the ones that did. So I was okay with the way they went with it, because in my mind, what I felt like we ended up with, it was an origin story for Rocket.
Which, that part, I knew was coming, and I thought was fantastic.
I mean, I thought the whole origin story for Rocket was amazing. I mean, the fact that they came up with this. I mean, they went so deep in, like, you know, some of the animal experiments. You felt bad. I have friends that, like, literally said they walked out because they just couldn't deal with the shit they were doing to the animals. I'm like, that was bad, but I didn't think it was bad enough to walk the fuck out.
I was reading shit on that, and are you fucking kidding me? Like, let's delve into that real quick. So... the basis of the origin story is Rocket was a science experiment trying to make a perfect society.
Yes.
And they were experimenting on all sorts of animals.
Yes.
And there ends up being four of them in adjacent cages after their experiments, and they're all experimented on in a different way. And you have Rocket and Layla, Floor, and what was, oh, teeth.
I love floor.
Teeth. Plural. Teeth.
I think it was teeth. Wasn't it? Or was it teeth? I thought it was teeth. No. But I don't know. It was.
Oh, yeah. with an F?
Yeah, I thought it was teeth with an F. But I mean, whatever. It was all amazing.
Let's see how they have it listed on IMDb. But
I mean, it was amazing. Which I thought the characters were great. I mean, yes, what they did to him and what they did to Rocket was horrible. But those characters and the little family was.
Okay, but okay, so here's what you got. You got
Misfit Toys. It was the Island of Misfit Toys.
You got Floor, which was a rabbit, I believe.
Yes.
With all robotic limbs laying on the floor, like he basically scurried.
Well, it was like the robotic limbs almost made her like a
almost like a spider.
Spider.
Yeah. And then you have
and then weird, like she didn't have a mouth. It was just a weird like speaker thing.
Almost like the Winter Soldier mask.
Yes.
If we want to get into it, right? And then you have Teeth, which was a walrus with on wheels. And you have Layla, who was an otter with robotic arms.
Yeah.
And you have Rocket.
Yeah.
They were
batch 89, which is disturbing to think that there was 88 before them. And who knows how many after.
So they show nothing.
Yeah.
Even when they show Rocket surgery, they show nothing. They show Rocket's head shaved with like the stitch mark from whatever brain work they did on him. But that's it. And then you see the X-ray of Rocket now when, you know, he gets hurt and they can't fix him because they have a self-detonator attached to his heart.
Yeah, so if you try messing with it, because he's proprietary property.
Yeah.
If you try messing with the property, it's going to make it explode.
It goes boom. So yeah. So that's basically the basis of this movie, is Rocket has this, and the Guardians are now tasked with going to the High Evolutionary and getting the information to be able to, the key to shut the bomb off.
Yes.
And then throughout the movie, there's backflashes or flashbacks to Rocket's story.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your story, you know, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
In
a nutshell, yeah.
The people. Oh, you're right. It does have an F. It's Teefs.
Yeah. For whatever reason, in my brain, I kept hearing the F, so I don't know.
And we have another Marvel star that's the voice of Layla. Or Lila.
Who was that?
Linda Cardellini. Who is Hawkeye's wife in all the movies.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And the voice of Young Rocket is Sean Gunn, who's also Craiglin.
I did see that, and because I think they said that he also does the voice of Rocket in a bunch of the video games and stuff, so it was kind of, he was a perfect fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
The people getting outraged over the animal situation crack me up, because none of those people were outraged over the Weapon X program.
No.
And they show far more surgical procedures throughout the different movies that the Weapon X program is in, including the first Captain America, because many people don't understand or realize, if you're not a fan of anything outside of the movies, you have no clue that Captain America is technically Weapon X or Weapon One.
Yeah.
Or Weapon I, but
it is, and it's one of those things, like a lot of people, I mean, they get like overly dramatic about things, I guess, but it was one of those things. There's some sad, I mean, it was sad to watch it happen, but I mean, they didn't show them actively working on the animals. There was a few things, the animals, you know, you could see that there was issues. I mean, the really sad part, like the first time he has surgery and he's like, ow, but then Layla like takes care of him. I mean, it's sad, but it would have been sad no matter what. I mean, because it made them humanized, which made it even sadder.
Yeah,
I think.
To me, it wasn't sad because you didn't see the process. What you see are four loving, yes, caring animal friends, yep, that have each other's back. You want the sad part. The sad part is where the other three are murdered and Rocket escapes. And now you're looking at a sad, depressed, defeated, I just lost every one of my friends, Rocket.
Yeah, which explains so much about Rocket, you know, his personality.
When Groot
later
dies in the first one.
Yeah, Groot dies in the first one, and how he has problems really getting close to people because everybody, you know.
Yep.
It's kind of the theme of the Guardians. Everyone they get close to dies.
Yeah. And now, along the lines of people that I've talked to that are upset and what they're upset about would be they're upset at Quill. And the character turn, I guess you would say, that Quill takes. To me, it's a progression in life. You have Quill at 10, 8, whatever, sad that his mom died and how he got through that. And then you have Quill. Like, to me, I don't think it's any different. Every movie, you have sad Quill.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's sad for a different reason.
You have sad due to mom dying. And then the only father figure he knew was Yondu, who dies in the second movie.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have Gamora being sacrificed for the Soul Stone. And you don't so much get, you get angry Quill at that moment because he's in the middle of a fucking galaxy war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so this one, through the progressions of all the shit that's happened, you also got to remember his dad and that situation with Ego.
Yeah, he had to kill his dad.
So through this whole fucking situation, should we be shocked that he's an alcoholic trying to drown his sorrows of life? You know?
I'm not. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. I mean, in all reality, I think it took the turn that you almost expect. I mean, everybody he loves dies. Gamora dies, but then comes back and doesn't. I think that's even harder on somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, the person you love dies and then suddenly comes back and has no fucking idea who you are. So not only do you have like some of the memories, you get to see that person.
Yeah.
And that's like part of the thing, too, when he gets to see her and all of a sudden she's just like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. When somebody dies, you have the mourning, and you'll always have that mourning, but all you have are the memories that you two made,
mm-hmm,
and now she's back, and she doesn't have those memories?
Yeah.
You know? I had people tell me it didn't have the normal funny. I thought it was fucking hilarious.
Oh, I thought there was some great funny. I mean, like you said, though, I mean, that's really the role he, I mean, he took the natural progression, like you said. But then, yeah, the funny, I mean, there was all sorts of Nathan Fillion's character, the whole thing that they have there, you know, oh, yeah, I got one of them, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean.
And that happened numerous times, which was a pretty good running joke for about 15 minutes there.
Yeah, I got one of those, too.
I forgot about that when I was talking to one of my coworkers about it this morning. Yeah.
Oh. It just, well, because we watch, Amber loves the show The Rookie, and he's Nathan Fillion's in that. And plus, you know, I love him from, you know, all the other shit he's been in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just hilarious to see him and just the constant, like, every time, yeah, I got one of those. And he said, what, like, it had been 5 or 6 different times to different people.
Yeah. Yeah, the Drax Mantis is the best,
mm-hmm,
character duo in the whole MCU.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it started with the second Guardians, really started, you know, really going.
Well, that's when
the
she got
movies
there, because she, yeah, wasn't in the first one.
Yeah. But then it really kind of progressed with Russ, and then the Christmas episode.
Yep.
That's when it really developed. And then on this one, I mean, it was just.
And now, how good, now that we've seen this movie, is the Christmas episode? It's fantastic, because really, you knew nothing of Nowhere.
No.
And not that the Christmas episode was in Nowhere a lot. You know, because they leave Nowhere and come to Earth for Kevin Bacon.
But it was enough.
You now know that this is where they reside. This, mm-hmm, is the community, whatever, that they've built with.
Well, and then the whole thing, too, like where they talk about her being his sister. You, without the Christmas episode, you don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot that the Christmas episode set up for this movie. And I think they did the Christmas episode on purpose like that, where all of a sudden it's like, hey, there's a bunch of stuff that really needs to be established before this movie happens. let's do the Christmas episode and establish all of this.
But yeah, the Drax Mantis back and forth, and the sheer fact that they have allowed Drax to remain dumb and not fall in love type deal, right? Now, you definitely see Drax's heart, especially with the children, right? When they're rescuing all those kids and stuff, and he speaks their language. I love how he calls them morons. Like,
yes. Hey, morons.
Like, that cracked me up too, right? Because that's just typical Drax. Like, they didn't change. Drax is who he is. I do not believe there's any growth in Drax or detraction in Drax. Like, Drax has been... The only detraction you've had, he's a little less violent.
Yeah.
But that also makes somewhat sense because his violence in the beginning was based on revenge on Thanos, who killed his family and people.
Yes.
And now Thanos is gone. So it makes sense that, you know, he's no longer really Drax the Destroyer, per se. Yeah. But you know he can still fuck shit up.
Yeah, he's Drax the Dad.
Yeah.
And
him and Mantis is back and forth. And to be honest...
You think I'm stupid?
Nebula's role and the growth of her role throughout everything has been... And her just blunt honesty is a great, like... She just got that little bit of robot in her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That little bit of android where she doesn't know bullshit. And she just... This is how it is, dummies. Like...
But then, I mean, like I said, there was the whole growth by the end of it where they're like, okay, I get why you are the way you are now.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of it, you know, and it's, I thought there was a lot of growth with every character. They really grew everyone very well, I thought, anyway.
But I did not like Groot saying, I love you.
I did.
I didn't.
I did, and there's a reason.
Okay.
It's one of those things, and it was an article. I kind of knew there was something because I'd read an article a little while ago about it. And it's one of those things, if you think throughout the movies, everyone only, all the characters only hear, I am Groot, I am Groot, I am Groot, until they have a connection to Groot. And then once they have that connection, it's like one of those things. They say that it's not a language. You just don't understand him until you have a connection with him. And basically, I feel like basically it was one of those things as the director in some way. Because if you notice, nobody reacted to the fact that he spoke in English.
Yeah.
So basically, to me, it was them saying, you've now connected enough with Groot as an audience that you could understand him.
But, and if that's the case, fine and well, then that needs to be, it actually makes me not like it more. Because I think that needs to be explained in the movie instead of either a fan theory you read about or after the fact. James Gunn coming out and saying this is why he did it. Like, right, if that's the case, even after it, right, it didn't have to happen before, so you're sitting there through the whole movie going, he's going to say something else. He's going to, like, you don't want to lose that, so we get the shock value of, but even after an end credit scene or whatever, something that explains that.
I get that, but at the same time, I think in reality, if they explain it, it ruins it because really the other characters, they wouldn't have known it happened at all because they just understand it.
Now, was that more for Nebula? And does that now mean Nebula is growing emotions?
I think Nebula could understand it before. I think she'd already grown emotions towards him.
Wasn't she the one?
No, it was Gamora.
Oh, it was Gamora.
She kept just saying, okay, I know your name, but if you remember when they have the whole thing where they fight together and they help each other in the hallway, she starts understanding him afterwards. And it's the same thing with the original Gamora. She started understanding him after they had something together where they became and they connected. And that's what I say. I think it's a connection. They get a connection with Groot, and now you have this connection. You can understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm still not... I think I still needed something on screen. That either led you in that direction or, you know, they don't have to be blunt about it, but...
Yeah. And to me, I feel just the fact that nobody reacted to it leads you to that you just now you can understand him. Because you have that connection. That was me anyway, so...
But without reading that article, would you have felt that way?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know, but I was kind of expecting it because I kind of...
Now, I saw a headline to an article that said, why did Groot, you know, say other words? I didn't read it because I didn't, you know... I wasn't sure, but... I didn't care for that. Some other things I didn't care about. When I think of Guardians of the Galaxy, especially movies, right? I specifically think soundtrack.
Hmm?
This wasn't that good of a soundtrack.
It was one of those ones that I don't think it was as good, but I think part of what it was is too is they progressed. Because really the first one was the 70s. 70s, late 70s, early 80s. The second movie was like...
Same time frame.
Kind of same time frame, maybe a little farther into the 80s, but not far. The last one, they kind of hit the 90s. They like started to, and this one went into like the 2000s. Like 90s and 2000s with this one. So it was a whole different like soundtrack. They played later music. And I do feel like I preferred the older ones. I like the soundtrack to the older ones.
Okay, here's the big thing with that, right? The whole point of the soundtrack and the era and stuff is that was his mom's music that she listened to him with when he was a boy.
Yes.
And made him tapes of it. Right? So when you start getting higher, like, how did he was in space already. How the fuck did he know who the Beastie Boys were?
Well, part of that is, too, if you go back to, because I watched 1 and 2 on Saturday. And in 2, the Walkman gets destroyed. And he's given at the very end.
The Zune.
When Zondu died. Yeah, he's given a Zune, which would have been, I mean, the Zune came out in, what, the late 2000s, early 2000s?
Yeah.
So that would have been, once he got the Zune, would have given him up to at least that time. And he said there's 300 songs on it when he handed it to him. So that would have got him up to the newer songs that were in this.
Yeah, I'm just...
I mean, there's some things in it where they took some liberties, where they added some things that... Yeah, I did like the link to the music with his mom. And they kind of took that out when they added all the new music.
So I get that to an extent, but I mean, you know, we have Radiohead. However, odd, it's not the, you know, radio version of it. It's the live acoustic. I didn't even know that was available for purchase, and I'm a pretty big Radiohead fan. Like, okay, so when you get into Volume 1 and Volume 2 soundtrack, you could see all those songs being on the same mixtape.
Yeah.
They're all similar in style from a similar, you know, era. But then you get into this one and you got Radiohead, Heart, The Flaming Lips, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Like, all over the place. Faith No More, Alice Cooper, X... Mm-hmm. Beastie Boys, Florence and the Machine, Bruce Springsteen, The Replacements. Yet, when you got into Redbone, that was Redbone's biggest hit. When you got into the Jackson 5, I Want You Back, that was Jackson 5's biggest hit. When, you know, and then all, you're doing some deep dives on Badlands. Is it a bad song? Absolutely not. Is it? If you're not like a Springsteen album owner, is it a song you really know? And do you, and if you do, do you know that it's by Springsteen? Most people don't.
No.
Right? You think Springsteen, you think Born in the USA, you think Dancing in the Dark, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But I think the soundtrack did more of what movies do with sequels than the movie did, maybe. Right? Because I don't think the movie was a huge fall off.
No, I don't think it was a huge fall off. I think the biggest problem I think a lot of people had with this is it almost seemed to focus less on the Guardians and more as almost like it seemed to lean towards the Guardians that we got at the end, that they're talking about, hey, the Guardians, which we knew the Guardians as we know them are over after this. This was it.
Yeah.
This was it, is their that this version of the Guardians. But I think everyone thought it was just going to be, okay, these Guardians are gone, we're going to bring in a whole new set. And I think this was a setup to say, okay, Rocket's the new Guardian leader.
And that's wrong. Who stayed behind?
Rocket.
Who else?
Groot.
Who else?
Nebula?
And one more.
Adam?
Adam. And as of 2019 in the comic books, Adam Warlock has been the leader of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which maybe, I mean, it's one of those things, but it could be that, you know, when is the movies ever followed? But it could be one of those things that Rocket's now, and then Rocket's going to, you know, back up and give it to, hand it over to Adam. I mean, it's one of those things that Guardians was always one of those ones. We all knew the Guardians that we got, they're not even the original Guardians.
No, they're like version 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah, the original Guardians were pretty much the Ravagers that we got. Sylvester Stallone, those, that's the original
Bing,
Ravagers.
Bing Rames.
Bing Rames,
because
all
we're talking
those.
The second one when they were first introduced.
Yep. That was the original. That was the original Guardians.
Yes, I don't know. There's a lot of untold story in this movie that I think bothers me. How did Warlock and his people, his mom, go bad? They were like a leader of their own society. And then all of a sudden they work for the High Evolutionary.
Because the High Evolutionary made him. He says that. When he's talking to her, he says, I made you and I can take you out, pretty much. He says he's the one that made them. He's their god.
But no talk about that at all in the first movie.
No, there wasn't.
And I guess now looking back at the first movie then, is that why there was people like John C. Reilly, and because they were put on that version of the next perfect planet?
Oh, wait, which one?
One.
Well, in one, that John C. Reilly, he wasn't part of the Sovereign. He was part of...
He worked under her.
Mm-mm. No, John C. Reilly was underneath Glenn Close. And that was the, my brain just went dead. What was the
I
name
thought
of
the gold people in that whole.
Mm-mm. That was two was the gold people. One was when they're going up against the gold people is the Sovereign.
Because I thought it was the post credits of one that we got the first look at baby Adam.
Mm-mm. No, it was the first, it was the end of two when we got that.
Because the same guy that played Adam in this movie played him in number two.
Well, they never even showed him in number two. They actually never show him. They just show the...
Well, he's got a credit listed as playing him.
Okay, yeah, because the only thing I remember of them ever seeing, because when we watched two, unless it was in post-credit and I missed it, Nova Prime, yeah, Nova Corps.
Yeah.
Nova Corps is... different than the Sovereign. Nova Corps was, they weren't, you know, gold. Nova Corps was just a group that
So I probably should have followed your advice and went back and watched the first two. I just didn't have time, because we got up and went to like the 9:30 a.m. showing,
yeah,
after shutting down the bar Saturday night. So yeah, I got up at 7:30 and woke everybody up and said we gotta go. So that might be my bad. But
yeah.
So there's that. I would have liked a little bit of where'd Cosmo come from. Didn't have to be big, but just something.
Yeah.
Right? There's no mention of Cosmo anytime, and then all of a sudden you got this dog with telekinetic powers.
I mean,
he cracked me up too. The
oh,
whole
Cosmo's
bad
awesome.
Bag dog
the
thing
bad
with
dog. Yeah.
With Craiglin fucking cracked me up too.
Well, it's tough because Cosmo. I mean, Cosmo does mention it at one point that she was. I mean, she was a Russian space dog. They sent off into space and just bye. But It doesn't explain, which the comics do if you go way back in time, which Cosmo was a Guardian of the Galaxy at one point, one of the iterations of the Guardians. But she just kind of went off into space, and I can't remember exactly, but and actually, this is, I think, the first iteration she was a girl. But she just went off into space, and some alien species found her or something and gave her. Yeah, it's some random way while she how she got it. But yeah, she was just a random dog that was shot off into space in like 1966.
Oh. So,
So,
okay, like
and
on
she
the
did
old
pop up in
Sputnik
the,
or whatever.
yeah, and she did pop up in the first Guardians. She was with the Collector. Her and Howard the Duck were both with the Collector in the first Guardians.
I don't
Where they
remember
did go to nowhere
the
on the when they met the Collector, because that's when the Collector was. But then they took it over, like in the Christmas show they show they took it over. But
So that, don't remember Howard there. I remember Howard at in the city, right? And you just get that brief walk, like you see him walking. But I don't remember him.
The Collector had Howard because when the Collector's helper grabs a hold of the Soul Stone and basically blows up. At the end of it, they show Howard basically saying something to the Collector,
Okay.
and that's when everyone thought they were hinting at that there was going to be another Howard the Duck movie. But
So as of, I'm just reading here comics wise, right? Your original Guardians, Yondu might be all we've met so far. What
no,
is Sylvester Stallone's character's name?
I wish everything work. Let me see, where is he? There he is. Stacker Ogord. Stalker Ogord.
Oh, so they didn't use his. So that's Starhawk, who didn't come in until 6 years after they were created.
Okay.
So Yondu is really. It was Yondu, Major Victory, Martin X, and Charlie 27. And then Starhawk, Nikki came in. And then 25 years later, Alita, Replica, Talon, and Yellow Jacket all came in. Just kind of reading. Yeah, they got Warlock here in the modern. Major Victories in the modern. Somebody named Moondragon, and then Cosmo the Space Dog.
Major victories in the new one? Or in the.
Comic-wise, yeah.
Oh, in the comics, okay.
It's called it just says the modern team. And then in Marvel Now 2013, it's Iron Man, Angela, Captain Marvel, and Agent Venom.
Wow.
And then all new, all different Marvel, Kitty Pryde, Thing, Ant-Man. Oh,
Beta Ray Bill, God, why haven't they brought him in yet?
I know. And then Cosmic Ghost Rider. Frank Castle is a Ghost Rider.
Apparently.
And then the Dark Guardians. There you got Nebula finally.
The cosmic go his physical appearance and her origin are an amalgam of Punisher, Ghost Rider, and Silver Surfer. Oh, he's a Frank Castle from an alternate reality. Okay, that makes sense.
Oh. Was like, wait a second
Bizarre
here.
Guardians. Very interesting.
Oh, and Cosmo wasn't even... His first appearance was 2008. So I think we're going to get more Cosmo.
I think so.
So Cosmo was a boy until the first Guardians movie. Cosmo was in the first and the second Guardians movie, as well as in What If. Just reading on that there. So that's where I may hold my official thoughts on the movie until I see what comes off of it.
Yeah.
Because you know at the end, so like when you watch Thor Love and Thunder, and at the very end it says Thor will appear in blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
And this one wasn't, you know, you'll see the Guardians in. It was Star-Lord.
Yeah.
So what capacity are we going to see Star-Lord in?
Who knows? That's going to be interesting.
I don't know either, but I want to know. And then,
but I mean, that's kind of the whole point. They leave you with that, like, what's going to happen?
Well, I also want to know. No fucking way. You know who's dating Star-Lord?
Like the character?
Yeah.
No.
Katie Pryde. Or Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
So his team affiliations is Guardians, of course, Infinity Watch, Ravagers, United Front, and Nova Corps.
And that might be the thing, too, that I've heard some people say, is they think that they might be bringing back, like, the Nova Corps, because that was kind of one of those things that was mainly destroyed pretty much when they was attacked, but I mean, there was still some
Nova
there.
Is a movie coming out.
Yeah.
I believe 2025. I could be wrong on that, but let's see here. Nova. Does it give me the date? You big dummy. Oh, it's coming to Disney Plus now.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a movie. Oh, and there's a trailer.
From 11 months ago.
Yeah. And they show Star-Lord. I don't know how real those are.
Yeah, because it's screen culture, and you never know what's screen culture.
So that may be why they didn't, you know. Oh, you'll see him on Disney Plus. Like, although you would think, as rough as some of the viewership for the Disney Plus shows have been, you would think by throwing, you know, Star-Lord in, that you could draw attention to Disney Plus. I don't know. Another thing I hated about the movie. I am tired, sick and fucking tired. So much so that I may boycott MCU. I'm not going to, but I might. If they don't quit fucking heartstring teasing me with just 2-second blurbs of Howard the Duck.
I know.
And not give me Howard the Duck, I'm going to get angry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need an Agatha Harkness TV show. Give me Howard the Duck. Netflix, get back involved and make me a real Howard the Duck. You know, that way we can get a...
It's one of those... Oh, he is one of those characters that the original movie, I love it. It's cheesy, it's stupid, but it's really not the real Howard the Duck.
Not at all, but it's fantastic.
It's fantastic, but the Howard the Duck they keep hinting at is the Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a perverted little bastard who's drunk all the time.
Yeah. That's why I said Netflix get back involved. Like,
Yeah.
I can't have a goody two shoe made for Disney Plus show.
I did love too that Star Lord just says fuck in a
That probably blew me away more than anything.
and they said it's like the first one, isn't it? The first one in the MCU? I think I saw somewhere they said that was the first F-bomb in the MCU.
It might have been. And then I needed somebody to die.
Yeah. I mean, they hinted, and I think that's part of the thing that, I mean, and it sounds bad to say it. I mean, at least a small character. I mean, somebody. But yeah, nobody. I mean, not one
Unless
person. Not even Blurb.
all five
Blurb.
or six or how many ever there are now, unless
Yeah.
they're all scheduled to come back, I needed closure on them.
Well, and I think that was it. They tried to give us closure by saying they were going to go off into the world, but then it's not really closure because now there's always going to be that, well, Mantis could show back up. So could Drax. I mean,
Well,
Drax even stayed
Bautista's done. The only reason he came back for even volume three is because they got James Gunn back.
Yeah. But that's one of the things that killed me, though. If they know he's pretty much not going to do this anymore, why even put him on nowhere? He should have left with Mantis. Because Mantis is going off into the fuck knows where.
Yeah. I can't handle the Gamora thing anymore. The just politely walking away, and then in the next movie, oh, there you see her. Let's rehash some shit we all know she doesn't remember.
Yeah, which I don't know because it was weird the way they showed it too. Because once she got back to the Ravagers, it was like she was home. So I don't know, maybe, she might pop up occasionally, but I don't think it's going to be, I think that was supposed to be the closure of their relationship. Like when they walked away, that was it. There's no more, he went down to Earth to go hang out with Grandpa and she went back to the Ravagers. And when she got back to the Ravagers, that to me and the way she was welcomed made me feel like that's her story. She's now that version of Gamora is a Ravager, and that's it.
Yeah, but if they ever cross paths again, which knowing Peter Quill's ties to the Ravagers could very well happen, I don't want to deal with the same bullshit. The storyline's done. It's over. Like,
But maybe that's it. Maybe they will run past again. But that was
I
the
thought
way they
Rocket
did
was
that
gonna
was.
die.
Oh, yeah.
I even thought, even after they showed Rocket, like almost like that Deadpool scene where he goes to heaven and Vanessa's like, he wants in and she's like, not yet. Same type of scene. But I thought when she was like, you have more to finish and then you can come. I thought once he went and got his revenge, that something would have happened. And the next thing you saw was him and Lila, in heaven together.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's horrible to say.
It is, but it's one of those things. Like, I think we were all going into this movie with the idea that, someone's going to freaking die. There's going to be closure. This is the last iteration of this Guardians of the Galaxy. If there's another Guardians of the Galaxy, it's going to be a completely different, team, but maybe not as different as we thought it was going to be. But we expected, I mean, I expected it to be like Endgame.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, I mean, that whole thing. I mean, I thought they were going to kill Quill. I thought that I'm like, there it is. There's the scene we were, that we've been. This is the death. Like, oh my freaking God, they killed Quill. And then they pulled back from us right at the last second.
Yeah, I was. I mean, seriously, like on my Instagram post, I was like preparing for tears.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't do it because I hear there's rumors now they're back in talks with Robert Downey Jr. And I'm not sure I want that either. So by not killing anybody off, you know, they don't piss anybody off by bringing them back.
Yeah.
If you're going to continue to make a continuation story 30, 40 movies in, like, I don't want to get into that where we're bringing all these fucking people back. Especially as emotionally involved as I was when Stark died and, you know.
Yeah, I could see if they were going to bring Stark back, I think the only way you bring Tony Stark back is you bring him back as, like, he's the replacement for Jarvis.
And that I've heard that talk, too, that it's AI Stark.
Which I would be okay with. But yeah. I mean, if you bring him back full on.
So almost reverse of the Jarvis and the Vision.
Yeah.
Right? Where you had Paul Bettany the whole time. You just had him as a computer voice into flesh, you know.
Yeah.
This would be you'd had Stark in flesh now into computer voice. I would be okay with that too.
Yeah.
But I would be okay. But if they end up doing like hologram AI, like I've heard, I'm not sure I'm going to be okay with that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
But they started making the hologram AI action figures of him, and it. I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think my grade overall, though, is just incomplete right now.
I think this is... No.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think this is going to end up being kind of like, for me, kind of like the movie Everything, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, where after I finish the movie, I'm like, I don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
And then, like, a day later, like, everything, as I sit there and process, everything starts going, oh, wait a minute, this is actually fucking brilliant. But I don't think this is going to be considered brilliant. I think it's just, I think I need to process it a little bit more.
It'll make sense.
It'll make more sense. Like I said, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, when I finish the movie, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I just want.
Yeah, I definitely need to see it again.
So do I.
But I think I need to take your path and watch 1 and 2 so they're fresh in my mind.
Yeah. And see, I think it's one of those ones where I made a mistake. I think I should have watched 1, 2, and then...
Christmas?
Well, no, I think what? Endgame.
End? Yeah.
Where he's... Because they're groups in Endgame, right? The ones that... I mean, Thor, whatever, they show up for 2 seconds in that. Yeah. But the ones where they're in for a little bit, like...
It would
where
be Infinity
Gamora
War.
Dies.
Infinity War is where she dies.
Yeah.
And then Endgame is where she comes back.
Yeah, so watch those two real quick just to kind of, you know, maybe get the feel of that. But, I mean, really, there's only a couple scenes in there that really matter. But, you know, it's just kind of definitely 1 and 2. Because there's a couple things from 1 and 2 that really kind of stuck out, you know, when I was watching this. Like, oh, okay, now I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, there's always going to be little things with the movie I was disappointed in. Like I said, I'm disappointed in the soundtrack.
No.
Just my opinion of it, right? I love that old 70s, like, it gave the movie its feel and vibe.
Yes, it did.
Where this one didn't have, I don't feel the music was as tied in to the actual what was happening as well.
I can see that.
I'm sorry, you know, I know, I bitched earlier that people were bitching about the growth of characters and whatnot, and how that shouldn't have happened, which I disagree with. However... I need that one kind of iconic, cool dance scene. It's just Quill's thing.
They had it at the end.
Quill wasn't a part of it.
It was everybody.
Quill wasn't a part of it. It was only the ones that stayed on nowhere.
But like I said, I feel like I think this movie, and that's why it surprised me when they said Peter Quill will return, or Star-Lord will return, because I felt like this movie was a handoff.
Yeah.
That it felt like it was a handoff in every way, shape. That's why I think like the dance scene at the end didn't have Quill. It was Rocket.
But that would have been a super cool thing to have all of them one last time on the screen.
It would have been. But I feel
and
like
even
that
better,
was...
would have been awesome if fucking Kevin Bacon came out and they danced to fucking Footloose.
That would have been amazing. But I think it was one of those things that I think in all reality, this was a an origin story and a handoff to Rocket.
And I'm the story itself, I'm great with.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the story as a whole was fantastic.
Yes.
Like,
and I felt like it gave a new villain because they didn't kill him. Rocket let him live.
The only little glitch in the story that I would have liked to seen, if we're going to do flashbacks on Rocket, I want that flashback to where him and Groot got together.
Yeah, I would love to find that one.
Yeah, I just think if you're going to do the Rocket like origin story, great. Now we know where he came from as baby raccoon to, you know, how he got his intelligence and everything else, and then we're jumped ahead. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen, because they've been inseparable every fucking movie, like, you know, I would have loved to have seen just that little, like, was Groot saved from the High Evolutionary? Did, you know, how did it come about?
Yeah, and which the High Evolutionary, he was a character that I was actually very impressed with. I mean, I wasn't sure how that character was going to be, but I was actually thought he, as a villain, was great.
No, I had no problems with any of the characters at all. Again, yeah, I didn't think High Evolutionary was a bat. The name's horrible, like, but that's not the movie's fucking fault.
But it fits perfectly in, yeah.
Yeah,
what he is.
You know, call him he. Like something.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so that didn't bother me at all. The story, you know, it's just little parts that either I had anticipated for that didn't happen, or things that I just automatically assumed were going to happen because they've happened every time we've seen the Guardians on stage and didn't happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it feels incomplete. Maybe not the group itself, right? We kind of know that that's going in its own direction. But the movie itself feels incomplete. Like there's either another sequel, or now you're going to see the split of characters in different movies.
And that's kind of what I wonder. But it felt like, because like you said, Drax has basically said he won't come back, which I don't know what that whole thing is. But like Nebula, I feel like she might come back up because she's basically running nowhere now.
Yeah.
You know, which kind of makes me wonder, though, what about what's his name? The captain guy, the guy that
Craiglin?
That took that over. Craiglin. Well, I mean, I thought he was the captain, but whatever. But
different group. Craiglin wasn't the captain of Guardians.
Well, no, but he was the captain of nowhere.
Kind of.
But yeah, but so it seems like, well, I guess really Quill was, but whatever. But so she's going to stay and take over that. So I think she'll pop back up. Sounds like Drax doesn't. I mean, Batista wants nothing to do with that series, which I don't know why. But and then
he's a big James Gunn fan, which also worries me for the next time these characters are written into something else.
Yeah. Which then Mantis stepped out. I mean, I don't know if she's going to pop. She might pop back up. Who knows? You know, and that's kind of the thing. I think they left it wide open. So if the MCU wants to use these characters again, they're out there. They're roaming the worlds, you know, the universe. They could pop back up. But it's just kind of.
Yeah. Similar to like Captain Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Where you didn't see her for really much of Infinity War or Endgame because she was out. And she even talks about it. There's so many other galaxies that you guys are unaware of where wars and battles and blah, blah, blah are happening. You know?
Which, I mean, leads up to, I mean, I guess besides, you know, Drax, I mean, leads up to, I mean, Mantis could be in another movie. I mean, you know, stuff like that. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know how you'd make it. I mean, I guess you could make a movie with her in her insanity. But, I mean, those, I mean, they all kind of lead up to possible other things. I mean, we've only known these characters as part of the Guardians.
And that's why I'm going with incomplete.
Yeah.
And again, that's kind of I'm worried about James Gunn being gone.
Yeah, they left it too open because James Gunn, yeah, he's gone. He's DC now.
But that humor. Now, James Gunn didn't close the door. He said if Marvel will let me, I'll be more than happy. But I'm not leaving my DC role either.
Yeah.
But, you know, so much of the humor and the fun that we've enjoyed through all the Guardian stuff is just James Gunn's writing.
It is.
You know.
Which, I mean, maybe it's one of those things. They could do something. I mean, you know, James Gunn, maybe they allow him to write another one and, you know, somebody else direct it.
Yeah, possibly.
I mean, you know, Taika Waititi hasn't done too bad. So, I mean, maybe, you know, they work together. I mean, who knows?
We talked about how he went overboard on Love and Thunder.
See, I think he did a little bit, but I'll be honest. Like I said, I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was entertaining. And you know me. I mean, I'm one of those ones. I don't get sometimes so into what the comics say it should be.
No, and I wasn't either.
I just think it's fun.
I thought the jokes would just kind of seem to repeat it. It reminded me of Melissa. What the fuck's
her? Oh, yes. Melissa McCarthy, where it's funny for the first 15 minutes, and then it's the same fucking jokes over and over again for the next hour and a half. But I think if you had something where, like, James Gunn wrote it and then handed it over.
Yeah, but how many times do directors throw in their own shit?
They do, but I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just think with the
they're
writing
filming
of James,
and he's like, oh, this doesn't work.
I mean, it's very possible, but
so
you never know.
Who knows? And maybe they all die in the next Deadpool movie. I don't know.
Could be. Maybe they do. Maybe they finally do Deadpool versus MCU.
And Deadpool kills them, the MCU. Yeah. That's what I'm pulling for.
That would be. I think that's what they need to do. I think it would be amazing if all of a sudden Deadpool 3, and don't tell anybody till the movie comes out, it's Deadpool versus MCU, and he just fucking wipes them all out.
Or because it's called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. Oh, I have it. It's downstairs.
It could very well just be him going back and killing all the Fox.
Yeah.
And
get a whole Fox lineup.
Yeah.
So they can start over.
You know, on a different timeline. Now, I know that movie is going to tie in with the Loki show.
Yeah.
Because I do know Miss Minutes is in it. So.
But, I mean, maybe that's what they're going to finally use it to. I mean, because that ties him into the MCU and makes him, I mean, really a part of it.
And also Owen Wilson's character, Morbius, is going to be in it, too.
I like that character.
So, you know, I do know it'll tie that stuff in. But that makes sense, like you said, right? We know he's going to be using Cable's watch. The basis, when you read about what the movie is he goes back to help cure Wolverine.
Oh, see, and I hadn't read that yet, so.
It's like the first two sentences on IMDb.
So he tries to cure him, like, so he doesn't have the.
Let me see here. I'll pull it up just to cure my. I think it says he finds a sick Wolverine and goes back in time to.
Maybe that's for, you know, from the Wolverine. Yeah, very much could be.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to. I'm trying to see if I could.
A weird Wolverine finds himself recovering from his injuries when he comes across Loudmouth Deadpool, who has time-traveled forward to heal his greatest pal in the hopes to befriend the wild beast and to team up and take down a foe they both have in common.
Hmm.
That's the two-sentence synopsis on Deadpool 3. So.
Interesting.
Now, did you catch in the end credits when Grandpa Quill is reading the paper? Did you see the headline on one of the articles?
I did.
The aliens probe Kevin Bacon to tell all.
Yep.
I was dying. I was dying.
Yeah.
That cracked me up, but yeah, I didn't hate the movie. You know, I'm not going to get on here and bash it like it's Affleck's Batman or even fucking, like I said, I wasn't a big fan of Doctor Strange 2, the Multiverse of Madness, because there wasn't much multiverse as far as I'm concerned.
It definitely had its moments. I like I said, I'm a huge fan of the yeah.
No, and I get that. I like Sam Raimi too. I just didn't think it went there, but
Yeah. I mean, I did like some of the characters that they threw in that were, you know, like I did like Kaiju Groot. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah.
And then King Groot, the last end credit scene.
Yeah.
Rey is not happy. I don't even
Why?
like him anymore. He's ugly.
What do you
Rey
mean
is
he's
probably
not?
somebody who likes Jar Jar Binks. Like, she
What do you
liked
mean he's
cute,
ugly?
cute Groot. I don't know. That's what she said.
You raised that child.
Did I?
Just remember that. I mean, really, it was Tosh, but we know it was Tosh. Oh, I mean, it's one of those ones I'll definitely watch again. I mean, there's some movies that I'm just like, eh.
King Groot has not been in the comics.
Yeah.
He was in
That's
the
weird.
Marvel Contest of Champions with like Street Fighter and stuff. Huh. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But all in all, I'm just going to give it incomplete.
I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I definitely want to watch it again just so I can like get some a little bit of like, okay, wait a minute. You know, a few things that I kind of have questions, like I'm going back now thinking, well, wait a minute, what about this? So, yeah. If
Similar to how
maybe
I would
there's
call
something
Love
that.
and Thunder incomplete. Like, what are we going to get with Hercules? What about Jane Foster? You know, these.
Well, she went to.
I know where she
She went to
went. She went.
Valhalla.
I know she went to Valhalla. She was in Valhalla before.
Yeah, no.
I don't give a shit. I want to know.
Yeah. And I mean, Hercules, I mean, maybe he's going to pop up again. I mean, a lot of people think that there's going to be another Thor, and Hercules is going to be the main villain in it, which a lot of people are like, wait a minute, Hercules is a villain? But, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he's
well.
a god. That's one thing with Greek gods. Greek gods, a lot of people don't think about this, but Greek gods were neither good nor bad. They were just them.
Yeah. Probably a good combination of both.
Yeah.
You know, so I do recommend everybody go see the movie.
Oh, yeah. Definitely go see it. I mean, it's one of those things. Go see it. See what you think about it. I mean, maybe it's one of those things that we're just like, oh, yeah.
Well, and it's definitely theater worthy, right? Just due to the special effects, and you know, it's definitely theater worthy.
Yes.
I'm not 100% certain where my love hate for it is.
Yeah. Weird.
Not weird.
No, sorry, I don't know if that came across for you all of a sudden. Like I was looking at one of the things on Guardians and there started playing sound.
Oh.
So good. It
No.
only went to my headphones. I didn't know if it went to you.
Nope, didn't come to me.
That's good. Thought maybe we
So,
had one of our normal mess ups.
no, but we talked about it like it was, so there.
Yeah, nice.
All right, well, I think that might be the first like full hour movie review we've hit.
In a while, yeah.
Well, we've done
We
lots of
fun
movie
with it.
reviews, but
I think
that's.
the original Deadpool one was like almost two.
Yeah, but go ahead and tell me how long ago that was. So I
Like,
said in a while.
yeah, like 7 years ago or something.
You know, so all right, guys. Well, be sure to check it out.
Yes.
We probably
Get out
should
there,
have
watch it.
I know we told you spoilers in the beginning, but we probably should have told you to pause and then come back and see if our opinions match yours, but fuck it, we didn't.
Yeah, hopefully you figured it out.
So, all right, guys. Well, Thursday night we have comedy.
Yes, we do.
I will be taking the lead role for the first time in, oh, 4 years.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I mean, I
Well.
think it's gonna be a great time. So it's yeah, 7 p.m. in Ording, free show, great time. It's gonna be a blast.
I know I got a group of people coming out, so That's the Firehouse in Ording. It's free because who would pay to see me?
Everybody. I mean, you get paid for it.
Yeah, but nobody else has to pay for it, so.
Which is good.
That's good. I'm excited for the food.
No, it's they're good food. Like I said, good food, good drinks. Get there early so you can get a good spot. So
I got a small group of work cohorts coming out. So
there's an event page on Facebook if you're looking for if you want to find it and get more information, let me know and I can send it. So
I think I'm on that, but
yeah, I invited you. I don't think you said anything though.
Well, I had something pop up and said, "Remember, or reminder, you have an event this week."
Yeah.
So I must have done something.
I know you did something, but you're going, so that's good. It's gonna be a blast. I mean, it's gonna be fun. Like I said, it's a great show, and I mean, Jayla and Rachel, the host and feature, they're both amazing too. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I figured, you know, with you know, had to have a little bit of femininity before the masculinity that is Matt goes up. So
yeah. I don't know about that, but
yeah,
it'll be something.
Yeah, yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
And hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later.